When you develop the mindset of thanksgiving, you bring God into your insufficiency.
Dr. Tony Evans says growing your gratitude can uncover God's blessings.
If we would be more grateful than complainers, we would see more of God in the midst of what's missing.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Sometimes we're faced with an insurmountable obstacle, a need with no possible solution. Well, when that happens, God doesn't want us just looking for answers. He wants us looking for Him. Today, Dr. Evans talks about how our circumstances are sometimes designed to keep our focus on the Lord. Let's join him as he explains.
A test is a challenge or negative circumstance that God causes or allows to come into our lives to either develop us spiritually or reveal where we are spiritually or both. They are negative circumstances typically or challenges that are allowed to pass through God's fingers first in order to take us to the next spiritual level. In this story, there are a multiplicity of lessons that Jesus taught them that I will seek to teach us about who Jesus is, how Jesus operates, and how we interface with that operation. Now, we are told as the story is introduced, it is the time of the Passover. Of course, the Passover was the celebration of God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. So they would celebrate it, and it was a holiday. It was like our Thanksgiving, our Christmas, or our Easter. On Passover, kids didn't have to go to school, and parents didn't have to go to work. Everybody got to take off and celebrate Passover and remember God's deliverance. When there was Passover, two things were happening. People were traveling. We traveled on holidays. People would travel. Pilgrims would come to celebrate Passover. The other thing that was true about Passover is there was a lot of eating, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. There would be a lot of food being served because it was part of the celebration of Passover. Jesus gathers his disciples to teach them, but a crowd shows up, a big crowd, because we're told there were 5,000 men. Jesus then asks a question. He asks Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" Verse 5. How are we going to feed all these folk? Where will we go to get the food to feed this mass of folk? Philip, or we're told in verse 6, this was a test question. It was a question, but it was a test. Verse 6 says, "For Jesus knew what he was intending to do." So a question to you is already an answer to Jesus, okay? A question to you is an answer already to Jesus. Jesus never meets an emergency session. He already knew the answer to the question, but he asked the question. Philip's answer is very interesting. And if you read it too fast, you'll miss it. Philip says in verse 7, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Now, 200 denarii is 6 to 8 months' wages in biblical days. Jesus says, "Where are we going to buy food that will feed this mass of humanity?" Philip says, 200 denarii, 6 to 8 months' worth of salary, can't feed this many people. You really have to pay attention to Jesus when he's talking. Jesus never asked him how much it cost. Jesus didn't ask him, how much money do we need to feed all these people? Jesus said, where are we going to go to feed all these people? But what he did was what we do. He went practical. Jesus said, where? He's thinking, how much? Jesus asked, where are we going to get it? He's thinking, we can't afford it. He immediately went to the problem because he was missing the test. The first test is, are you paying attention to what Jesus says? The first lesson that we need to learn is when Jesus talks, listen to what he was saying, not the problem that you see first. That was a problem. We got all these folk, they are hungry. And one of the other synoptics, the disciples say, send them home because we can't feed all these people. You ever have folk come to your house you wish would go back home because you didn't cook enough for all those folk? Well, when we're in a test, it's easy to run to the problem and miss the word. It's easy to run to the need and miss what God is doing. So here's the first lesson I want you to learn from this story. There are a number of lessons. Here's the first one. Never let your circumstances predetermine the outcome. If God brought the test, God determines the outcome, not your ability to figure it out based on the practical reality that you see. We got a boy here. The only food we see are these sardines and crackers. But what are these among so many? Okay, he went practical again. This is all we see. It's all we have. It's not nearly enough. Jesus says, bring the sardines and crackers to me. And Jesus gives thanks and then distributes it to 5,000 men. Jesus gave thanks over his insufficiency. He gave thanks over what was not nearly enough. All Jesus has been given is a little boy's lunch, some biscuits, and some fish. And he says, Father, I want to thank you for sardines and crackers. Now, what I need is a lot more than what I'm giving thanks over. But I'm going to give thanks over what I have because you know what I need. And I got to believe you are going to fill the gap from what I have to what I need. So rather than complain about what I don't have or complain about what I need, I'm simply going to give thanks for what you gave me. And the Bible says, after he gave thanks, he distributed to 5,000 men. How do you feed 5,000 men off of sardines and crackers? You do it because you give thanks. So let me say a word about the power of thanksgiving. The power of thanksgiving, that is gratitude for what God has done, even though it's not all you need him to do, allows God to fill in the gap of your insufficiency. I don't know what's missing in your situation or what's lacking in your trial. I do know there's always something to give thanks for in the midst of your lack. You may want steak and potatoes. You may only have hot dogs and baked beans, but you're not starving. So you give thanks for hot dogs and baked beans. Tell God you would like steak and potatoes, but God, you're gonna have to fill in the gap between what I have, what I need. I'm going to give you thanks because you're my source. You're my supplier to fill in the gap. When Israel was going through the wilderness, they were full of complaints. They said, we want meat, but you're giving us manna. Where's the water? They were full of complaints. The Bible says in Romans 1, neither were they thankful. What do we say to our kids who complain all the time? Stop complaining and be grateful. When we are not grateful for what God has done and is doing, and even thanking Him for what we're trusting Him to do, then we're being ungrateful children. And ingratitude will keep God away every time. You and I have more than enough to be thankful for. It doesn't mean we don't want more, don't need more, but has He already done something for which you should say thanks? And how often, by the way, do we tell our kids to say thanks? We'll give them something, what you say? Thank you. Give them something else, what you say? In other words, we constantly remind them of gratitude. How much gratitude are we giving God? Jesus gave thanks, and what did He give thanks for? Not enough. Insufficient. Need more. Problem bigger. And in the middle of that, Jesus is going to give thanks. In John chapter 11, when Lazarus died and Jesus went to the grave to raise him from the dead, the first thing we see in His prayers, and He gave thanks. Well, don't get any worse than this, but He gave thanks. I want you to know about the power of thanksgiving. Now, let me clarify. You don't give thanks for the problem, you give thanks in it. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. So you're not giving thanks you're hungry. You're not giving thanks you're sick. You're not giving thanks you lost your job. You're not giving thanks that the relationship didn't work out. You're not giving thanks for those things. You're giving thanks in the midst of those things. Why? Because you need God in the midst of your insufficiency. When you develop the mindset of Jesus, which is the mindset of thanksgiving, you bring God into your insufficiency, to your limits. And if we would be more grateful than complainers, we would see more of God in the midst of what's missing.
When Dr. Evans returns in a moment, he'll have more for us on how our gratefulness to God helps us see His goodness more clearly. Stay with us.
Too many of us want to throw in the towel before we've thrown up the prayers.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians have a habit of underusing or overlooking our most valuable spiritual resource.
Grace is available, but only at the throne, and you can only approach the throne through prayer.
You can deepen your connection with the Lord through our in-depth course on Kingdom Prayer at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll discover how God has wired the world to work by prayer and experience for yourself how it connects heaven with earth and time with eternity. You'll not only gain a new understanding and appreciation for prayer, you'll actually pray in transforming ways you've never experienced before. The course is intense, but you can work through it at your own pace and get all the help you need through our online forum. And of course, there's custom content from Tony not available anywhere else. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at tonyevans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today, tonyevans.org.
And while you're on the website, this is a great time to pick up a book, CD, DVD, or other resource. In celebration of the Alternative's 41st year of ministry, most everything is 41% off. But this special event only lasts for a short time, so visit as soon as you can. Now, today's teaching from Tony is the final message in his 10-part compilation called Bold Belief. The Bible has a lot to say about boldness, and throughout this series, Dr. Evans has been unpacking biblical truths that can help you learn how to respond to God's call, be filled with His peace and power, and live a fearless life knowing that God's Holy Spirit is guiding your steps. If you missed any of these messages or want to get the full-length lesson so you can explore material we didn't have time to present on the air, then I encourage you to request the special double offer we put together. It includes all 10 messages from the Bold Belief series on CD or digital download, along with a copy of Tony's encouraging book, God Is Up to Something Great. And it's our gift to you, and thanks for your donation to help support the ministry of The Alternative. Today's the last day to take advantage of this offer, so visit tonyevans.org right away or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members assist you. I'll repeat that information for you after part two of today's lesson. Here's Tony.
Now, we're told that about 5,000 men sat down. Not the women, not the children, but the men. That's because it would be the men's responsibility to distribute to their wives and children. So the wives and children would be taken care of because the men were in their rightful place. Our problem today is we can't get men to sit down. We can't get enough men to get in their rightful place and posture themselves under the rule of Jesus Christ because he told them to sit down. But we have men who Jesus tells us sit down who insist on standing up, who insist on doing their own thing. Until the men sat down, nobody ate. We have a culture in crisis. We have women who have abandoned, children who are neglected because men are running off and not sitting down, not placing themselves under Jesus's authority, because that is the outline of how it was supposed to work for God to fulfill his purpose. It's not that God is not fulfilling his will, it's that we can't get people in their right positions. He said, you tell the men to sit down, but there are women and children there. Why? Because the disciples would give to the men and the men would give to their families. God has a process by which his miraculous takes place. So there's a lesson here, and the lesson is divine order. If you're out of order, then you have limited what God wills to do. If these men rebelled and said, I'm not sitting down, Jesus is not going to tell me what to do. If they would be out of order, they would have jeopardized the whole miracle. What many people need to know is that we can block God's miracle because we're not cooperating with his process. We got our own way. We lean to our own understanding. We operate on human wisdom rather than divine wisdom. And the supernatural bypasses us because men are out of order. Women are out of order. Kids are out of order. And then everybody out of order, but they're praying for Jesus to come and to turn things around. If you are out of order, and I can show you this all through the Bible, when people get out of order, God's miraculous is stopped or blocked. Not because God can't do it, but because God does things decently and in order. Everything has to operate according to his scheme. Now, the lad gives up his lunch. Faith always calls us to do something, even if it's just a little. Because all you got a lunch, we got 15,000 folk or so. All through the Bible, you will find God doing big things with little objects. I mean, he opened up the Red Sea with a stick, okay? Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. David kills Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. You know, we got a big problem and a small object that's been sanctified. So there's a lesson about sanctification here. When God sanctified something, when God took something normal or regular, because this is normal and regular, fish and bread. This is normal and regular that had been handed over to Jesus. Jesus in his prayer sanctified it, which means he embedded it, he endowed it with the Holy Spirit's power so that ordinary became extraordinary. Now, one of the things I want to see when I get to heaven on video is how sardines and crackers became Moby Dick or Orca to Kill a Whale or something, how he was able to feed all these people. I want to see that one on video because it says they kept distributing it. So here's another lesson. God's method for answering prayer normally is using people to distribute his answer to other people. People being blessed become a blessing so that other people are blessed so they can share the blessing with somebody else. So this blessing thing keeps rolling from person to person. If God can't flow through you, he'll stop flowing to you. So there is a distribution lesson here. That's why Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. And he says, they will bring it to you. In other words, When God can touch you to touch somebody else, he'll touch somebody else to touch you. And the way he can connect people at weird times and in weird situations that you don't expect, that you didn't know, that you weren't planning for, God has folk out there he's ready to touch when you become touchable. That is, when you become the kind of person who will be a distributor of what he distributes to you. So there's a process here of how God responds and how he answers prayer. Verse 14. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, sardines and crackers feeding 15,000 people, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly," that means for real, "I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Everybody wants the signs of the loaves and the fish, but do you want the life of Jesus Christ? Are you concerned about righteousness, rejecting sin, getting victory over evil, ministering to others? Are you concerned for the spiritual, or do you just want the stuff? Because that's a problem today. Problem today is a prosperity lie. Now, don't get me wrong. God is not against prospering. The Bible is full of prospering. But the lie I'm talking about is using Jesus for stuff when there's no concern about my walk and relationship with the Jesus I'm using. No concern about that. But as long as I can come get my blessing, and so people will come to give to get instead of getting to give. They come with a total different motivation. Not because God doesn't want to do this stuff. He just wants it to be in the right order. He wants to know you want him and not just the stuff he can do, that you want him. I got time to go get my blessing. I don't have time to pray. I got time to go get my blessing. Don't have time to spend in the word. Got time to get my blessing, but I don't have time to minister to nobody else. But as long as I'm getting my stuff, my house, my car, my job, my money, my notoriety, my fame, then I'm satisfied. He wants to be worshiped and obeyed. And when we do that, he's happy to meet our needs and show us his ability to do miracles.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up the final message in his Bold Belief series. And that means this is the final day to get that special double offer I mentioned earlier. As our way of saying thanks for your contribution to help keep Tony's teaching coming to you on this station, we'll send you all 10 lessons in the Bold Belief series, along with his hope-filled book, God is Up to Something Great. Together, this package will reveal how to find God's strength, peace, and promise in your life, enabling you to live with confidence, unshakable, even in a culture in decline. Get the details online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource request line is always open, so there's no need to wait. Again, the number 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out the huge collection of resources we have to offer. In celebration of our 41st year of ministry, almost everything in our online shop, books, CDs, DVDs, Bible studies, teen and children's materials, and more, are available at 41% off. This is a special limited-time offer, so be sure to visit right away. Well, coming up tomorrow, Dr. Evans says there can only be one real truth. It's true no matter how we feel about it, and it only comes from one source, and that's not you or me. Be sure to join him when he kicks off a brand new series called Returning to the Truth. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.